Hey friends, before we dive in, my new book, Sowing a Hidden Seed, Daily Prayers for Your Child's Spiritual Growth, is out now, available on intentionalparents.org exclusively, so go check that out. Christmas is coming. What a great Christmas present to get your family praying. And don't miss our upcoming retreats, the Intentional Fatherhood Retreat, February 19 through 21, 2026, in Costa Mesa, California, and the Intentional Motherhood Retreat. We announced this April 23rd through 25th, 2026 in Franklin, Tennessee. Please come out and know that early bird pricing is on both of those events, so check that out. These retreats are spaces to pause, breathe, and invest in your spiritual formation as a parent. So learn more, get your tickets now at intentionalparents.org, and let's get into this week's episode. Welcome to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Intentional exists to help parents in their God-given task to raise passionate Jesus followers. We exist to bring hope, help, and healing to families. Each week, we will talk about anything from parenting, marriage, lifestyle, and what it looks like to follow Jesus in our time. Intentional is made up of Phil and Diane Comer and Brooke and Elizabeth Moser. I am Brooke, and the funny thing is, we are all family. Elizabeth is Phil and Diane's daughter, so we're a family figuring this thing out together. We hope this podcast feels like you're sitting with us in our home talking about how to do this thing called life together. Elizabeth and I are your hosts. Let's get into this week's podcast. All right. Welcome back to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Man, thank you everybody for rating the podcast and leaving comments. I was just explaining to Phil and Diane, because you guys, now you're not avid podcast listeners. But it's not like you're sitting there on podcasts very often.
We listen to our son.
Yeah, he's great.
Consistently.
John Mark's great. But yeah, it's so funny because I was explaining to them how the whole system works, and it was just so fun, and it was great to read some of your comments to them. And so that's just a great launching pad to say, if you haven't left a comment, if you haven't rated, would you just take even 15 seconds to do that? Helps us immensely. And then if you're listening to it and enjoy it, would you even just take a second to also on social media, even on Instagram, would you tag us? And we'd love to share that with the world as well. So communicate with us. We'd love to know. And if you have questions ever, you can always email info@intentionalparents.org. And we would love to talk with you. So give us a heads up, or social media works too. But today we kind of had this fun topic. Elizabeth is currently educating some of our kids. And so for this episode today, she's not going to be here, unfortunately. But we have this wonderful topic that kind of came out of something in your life, Diane. So instead of me setting this up anymore, I'd love for you to kind of take us on the journey of what's going on in your life and through some of the moments in your mornings with Jesus. And then I can't wait to talk about it, because we have some great questions for you as people and as parents to ask yourself today.
Yeah, it's been fun for the last probably hour, 45 minutes to an hour. We've all been talking about this. Just observation I stumbled on a few mornings back. I was up early reading my Bible and asking God to speak to me, knowing that it was post-Christmas. We had all the Comer grandkids still staying with us. So, I mean, it was just not like those kind of mornings that are just slow and you have all the time in the world. It was like, Lord, I need to hear from you.
I don't even have those mornings.
You don't know what that's like.
Not right now.
I'm limited.
One day it won't even be you and your dog, because you don't like dogs.
God has other things for me.
So I'm up early asking God, please, I just feel like I need your refreshment. I'm pouring out. So does every mom and most dads probably can relate to me right now. And I happen to be in Hebrews chapter 11, which is the hall of faith, some people call it, which is just this long list of really faithful men and women in the scriptures who are an example to us. And yet, when you read their whole histories, they're just as weak and frail and messed up as the rest of us. But what makes them remarkable is their incredible faith in God, so strong that they begin to align their lives with Him.
Yeah.
So I'm reading along, and in Hebrews 11, verse 23, It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid of what the king might do. So that's underlined and starred because just a few verses down, now we're talking about Moses, yes. This child that they hid for 3 months. Mm-hmm. And a very similar phrase is said. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt. He was not afraid of the king.
Wow.
And to hear those two phrases, first about Moses' parents, who didn't have the privilege of raising him for his whole life. Mm-hmm. And then about Moses, that they were not afraid of the king. And you have to understand, because I went back to Exodus to find this, to kind of put it into context.
Yeah.
The king was Pharaoh and the Egyptian rulers, and they were, it says in Exodus chapter 1, in verse 14, they were ruthless with the Israelites, forcing them, enslaving them to make bricks. Mm. Pharaoh made the edict that he was worried that all these Hebrew sons were being born. So he told the midwives, kill all the boys as soon as they were born. Yeah. When they didn't do that, he gave another order to his own people. He said, throw all the newborn Israelite boys into the Nile River.
Whoa.
You may spare the baby girls. Yeah. I mean, he is an evil man. And they're saying here, both Moses' parents were not afraid of what the king might do. Mm. And he was all powerful. There was no justice.
Mm.
And I just found that so remarkable that it began to make me feel like, okay, as a mom, how do I pass on a faith like that to my children?
Yeah.
That is, gives them the courage to stand alone against the culture, against the norms, and the evil and the corruption. Yeah. Knowing that, as in Moses' parents' case, they had to have courage, they had to overcome the reality is that they could very well suffer greatly by being loyal to King Jesus. So
could the midwives. You know, when you were just saying that, I looked in verse 17 of Exodus 1, it says, but the midwives feared God and didn't do what the king commanded them. So they were women of faith. And then down a couple of verses, so God was good to the midwives because they feared God.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, there's these people that have this genuine faith.
Yeah.
Even knowing it could cost them their lives, they're going to do the right thing anyway.
Yeah.
And Moses, and it's not just a feeling.
No.
This faith governs the decisions they make about what they will and will not do.
Exactly.
That's which huge. Is, I mean, someday I want to do, and I keep saying this, but I haven't done it yet, a study of all of Hebrews 11 and just study the life of each person listed there and draw out the characteristics. I think anybody else listening, you might have the same desire. So go for it and email me
and send
if
it
you
to
do
us,
a
please.
Study like this. Yeah,
please send it to us. I was going to say, though, the verse that or the thing that stuck out that you had pointed earlier is that verse on 23.
Yes.
And it's and the NLT says, one version, what does it say? Not exceptional child. What does it say?
Okay. So
because there's other,
I went through finding all the translations, the most common translations of Hebrews 11:23. The NLT, which I was reading that morning, was, and Moses, the parents saw that they had an unusual child. Okay. I really like that.
Parents are like, yes, I've got kids. Not in a good way.
The ESV and the Christian Standard call them beautiful.
Okay.
The Amplified, beautiful and divinely favored. But here are my two favorites. The Message Bible, which does a good job of trying to get to the actual gist of the meaning.
Yeah.
And the Passion Translation does the same thing. They saw the child's beauty.
Hmm.
So Moses' parents saw their child's beauty.
Yeah.
And then the Passion Translation, they saw that God had given them an exceptional child.
Which is a really interesting observation.
It really is.
A really interesting observation. And I know is really launching into our conversation today. Because what we want to do, I think, for today is take that as a quick foundation. Because we're going to keep building on it. But take that as a foundation to ask you, the listener, we have five questions that we want to encourage you to ask yourselves around this idea. Yes. Because not only do we recognize that we have faith and how do we actually give that faith, which we'll talk about, but then also the other thing is, what does it mean to have an exceptional child? And does that mean they're going to be famous? Does that mean they're going to be super athletic? Mm-hmm. And the answer is no to all of those things. That's not what the Bible's referring to. But we're going to talk to you about how do you understand your kids and really how do we unfold them mm-hmm. and mold them, which is mm-hmm. part of the conversation.
You are enjoying content brought to you by Intentional, a crowdfunded nonprofit that desires to help families and marriages all around the world in the area of discipleship and spiritual formation. This offering is completely free, thanks to the generosity of our growing community of Legacy Builders. Legacy Builders is a group of people from all around the world that give monthly to fuel this dream that we have in our hearts of seeing discipleship to Jesus in the family become a way of life. A monthly gift of $5, $10, or even $30 can continue to fuel this ministry forward. Our dream is to invite people like you to join and partner with us at a financial level and see this work integrated into families. So as you listen to this podcast, would you prayerfully consider joining us? Would you allow the Spirit to lead you, even if it's just to a few dollars a month? Thank you so much, and may the Spirit of Jesus give you wisdom, clarity, and joy as you pray about joining us. And if you want to join today, go to intentionalparents.org and click on Give.
Yep, very much. And I think, you know, when we realize we have to take a second to think about how generally our culture, even our Christian culture, what they value in a child, what they would consider exceptional, because it's pretty big contrast between what the world values, what our current culture values, and what God values. So I would say, you know, we made kind of a list here. What do we see is, does our world consider an exceptional child? Well, they're academically successful. They do really well in school. Outward appearance matters. Yeah. They look good. They have the look that is currently, athleticism, cool. That's a big one.
Yep.
You know, you get people's Christmas cards and it's all filled with their, you know, kids' great athletic stuff, which is great. I enjoy reading it. But extroversion. Everybody, you know, in America, pretty much, we exalt the extrovert, not the introverted, quiet, shy, thoughtful child, but the outgoing, you know, very present.
That's true.
And we exalt independence, the child that is able to just
doesn't
do it
need
all
a lot.
On their
this
own.
Kid doesn't really need me. Yes, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, absolutely.
So as a contrast to that, we started talking just about, what was it that they could have seen in Moses that made him
exceptional?
And I think especially when you read the message, they saw the child's beauty. What was beautiful about Moses? Mm-hmm. And we don't really know. There's like a big blank here because we don't know much more about his history. But I think it leads me as a grandmother to think, I want to make sure that I am seeing the beauty in each of my grandchildren.
Yeah.
And highlighting that in a way, because they're not going to grow up hearing from outside sources about their own beauty.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they must have seen something. It's probably a bit mystical here. I mean, Moses would go on to talk
prophetic.
To God face to face. Nevertheless, they observed, you know, when he was just born. You know, because was he 3 months old? They put him in the wicker basket,
right?
You know,
right.
But then they continued. Then she nursed him.
That's
so
right.
And so for what, till 3 years
well,
old?
Well, I've
probably?
Heard that. Yeah. I've heard it said that that could have been 3 years until he was three.
Yeah.
But it would seem to me that when you look at the rest of the story, that Moses must have had some contact with his parents most of his life because he was so aware of his Hebrew
of
roots.
Who he was,
Later when he's, you know, later in Exodus when Moses is full grown and being called, God sends his brother Aaron to come be his, you know, right-hand man.
Yep, yep.
And Moses recognized his adult brother. So there seems to me that you could make some connection that he'd been continued to be somehow connected to his family.
But I think, you know, so there's something maybe mystical going on here, but nevertheless, the point we we want to make, right, is every child is a gift from yes. God. And every child yes. is, I mean, looking at Psalm 139, David says, you wove me together in my mother's womb. Yeah. You formed my inward parts. I will give you thanks, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully yeah. made. Wonderful mm-hmm. are your works, and my soul knows it very well. You know, it goes on. So I think that that's the beauty of
yeah.
seeing your child as yeah. beautiful and unusually
and
gifted.
Made in the image,
made in the
God.
Image of God.
And the real question is, how do we do that? Right? Because yeah, yeah. that's a exactly. great question. Like, how do you view your grandkids, specifically also your son-in-law yeah. that way? How can you just view him in God's light and mercy? Yeah. But how do you view your own children that way? And to do that, we have five questions that we put together from this space mm-hmm. to really ask yourself as a way of observation. So I really encourage you to write these down. We'll have some in the show notes. We'll have these questions so you can go back and if you missed one. But we're going to go through these lists. We have five. The first one is, how do you see your child? Mm-hmm. So, you know, Diane, when we were talking about this first question, something just slipped out of your mouth. So I just wrote it down really quick. So all this credit goes to you. But you said, is your child a problem to solve or something to fix? Is that how you view your child? Or yeah. do you view them as a delight and you're thankful for them? So mm-hmm. let's talk a little bit more about that. How do you see your child? And what are some of the ways that we can, as parents, view our kids? What is mm-hmm. some of the perspective or the lenses that we can put on biblically to view our kids?
And I think what you're saying is really important, Brooke, that we can put on.
Yeah.
I think these are, how we view our child is, at least to some degree, a choice we make. And
yes,
we will, all of us will catch ourselves viewing our child as a problem to be fixed. You know, you get that call from the school once again, and your child is not, you know, being yes. the perfect example of a child, and you think, okay, I need to fix my child. Or you blame yourself because you say, oh, I wasn't good enough about fixing this in my child.
Yes.
Instead of really seeing this child has an already planned trajectory by God
yes.
to be used in the kingdom, and he's necessary for the kingdom. We
yes.
need this child. We also need to be training this child so that he is not just like a cannonball, you know?
I was going to share, when you said that, it just sparked a story in my mind. So when we had Birdie, she was almost two. And I remember coming over to your house, both your houses, because Elizabeth was either gone or she was at home. And I remember being the one to first tell you that we were pregnant with Sloan. I don't know if you remember this.
Okay.
But we were at your house. Or I was at your house and we were telling you that we were pregnant with a fourth, and we were both like, you know, it was exciting. Everyone was really excited. But then through the next months, I remember as Elizabeth got more pregnant and Sloan, our fourth one, was about to be born, we lived close to your street, or we lived on the same street. And my prayer walking circle was like this block around our house. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was at this very particular spot, and anytime I'm there, I remember it. Almost like, I don't know if God just reminds me or if that's how the mind yeah. works, to these important moments get marked by physical places. But I remember walking there, and we had decided pretty recently from that moment that we were going to name her Sloan. Mm-hmm. And Sloan means warrior, which okay. is, by the way, a poor choice of name if you believe that your kids are going to live into what their name means, because I can't even tell you how much she is that. And then her middle name's Elliot. So her name's Sloan Elliot, which Elliot is Jehovah is God. You know, okay. she's a warrior of God in many ways. And so I'm walking around, and I remember this. It was either a picture, I don't know if it was prophetic or just a dream or whatever it was in yeah. the moment, but it was like God gave me this visual or idea that she will one day be with me on these prayer walks, and she's going to be fierce in the kingdom, kind of yeah. like this really intense thing.
And she wasn't even born yet.
She was not even born. I had no clue.
This to you.
Yeah, wow. No clue who she was yet. Not even met her. Knew it was a little girl. That's it.
Yeah.
And then it has been absolutely eerie to
yeah.
think through and look back to see how accurate
yeah.
that picture was. And I'm just sharing that very practical story to say, who God has given you mm-hmm. is not just to your molding, although that's a big mm-hmm. part of it. You mm-hmm. know, nature and nurture, those are big deals. But he also has given you somebody to figure out and steward. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think even with Sloan, Elizabeth and I say all the time, like, she she makes grown humans cry. I remember she was the only kid that we've had so far to make a babysitter cry and like walk outside and be like shaking and be like, I don't know what to do. Yeah. We're like, well, first of all, go back inside, stay with them. We'll be home soon. You know, it was like, she's just intense in she every is. Way. And we she have to is. Mold that. And we
and
have to help.
Fierce is a good word. There's a fierceness. It's
so about fierce. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I just, that's a practical yeah. example to say, your child, to your point, that there yeah. is a lot going on already that God has predetermined right. in your children. And it's our job to figure them out.
Yeah. Yeah. And okay, here's what I love about that. I think God gave you a prophetic word on that prayer walk about yeah. your child. And that's what Phil was talking about. Moses' parents, it seems to be a prophetic understanding yeah. of something about this child.
Yes.
Enough that he was not expendable. They risked their very lives to keep him alive.
Yes.
And I think God wants to show us a vague outline shadow yes. of what could be the future of your child. In the kingdom.
Yes.
I'm not talking about a child who fulfills all your latent ambitions, yeah. you know,
oh,
is
so
rich,
sad.
Famous, yeah, applauded, makes you look good. Because I actually think most of us who raise leaders end up being humiliated on a regular basis while we're raising them.
Well, man, my kids honesty. Are all going to be great yes, leaders then because I'm
constantly really embarrassing when they're toddlers. Often as teenagers, very often in their early Adolescent. Development stage. These are embarrassing
wow.
people.
Wow.
So,
good observation.
I think he wants to give you a prophetic word about your child.
Yes.
And don't try and fill in the blanks. It's a mm-hmm. shadow that he will give you.
Wow.
Early on, I didn't know anything about words of prophecy or mm-hmm. about, you know, having a vision or anything like that. But my mentor, when John Mark was born, in 1980, was a woman by the name of Muriel Cook, and she
yeah.
challenged me to ask God to give me a scripture for my child that was some sort of a basis. So this is the early Bible church version of prophetic word,
yeah,
based on scripture, which is always the best. Give me a word from the word for my child is what I would pray if mm-hmm. I was having if I had a young child right now.
Yeah.
So the scripture, I don't remember how, I didn't used to journal back in those days, that God gave me came right out of, interestingly enough, the theme verse for intentional parents, which is comes out of Deuteronomy chapter 6.
Yeah, the great Shema.
That I would pray that John Mark would love the Lord his God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then Jesus' addition to that out of Leviticus 19, and his neighbor as himself.
Yes.
As himself, which now we use in just short soundbite, we say loving God with passion, loving people and purpose.
Yes.
And more than I realized, that guided the way we formed, developed,
encouraged
not only John Mark, but Rebecca and Elizabeth and Matthew, because every time I asked God, can't you give me a new word for this new child?
Yeah.
And it was always the same, that they would. The one prayer that I had is that they would love God with absolute passion, all in, complete, and that they would learn to love people well.
Yeah.
And it is a learning.
Oh, it is.
It is a learning. Yeah. Most of us start off really bad at it.
But look at but it's really cool now that you have all this data, you know, you have the data of when he's born, that word, and then you see his life,
yes.
you know, and you see what God's doing through his life and his ministry that has been started, stewarded by you both. But then God has given him his own vision,
That's
his own
right.
heart.
Way
but it started there.
Yes.
And what a neat reality that we can do that with our kids.
And what is his whole ministry of practicing the way about? Is bringing us into such intimacy with God that every area of our life is saturated with the love of God. I mean, that's really...
That's what it is.
Only God could have done that. I mean, I was a fairly new Christian, not mature, certainly not emotionally healthy. And yet God is so much bigger than we are.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The prophetic word
is so good.
To give you a prophetic word for your child.
So yeah,
I think it's important. I wanted to throw one thing in there that, you know, it's the American mindset is bigger is better and fame and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So Moses is one of the shining stars of the Bible, right?
Like he is,
you know, but he was a servant of the Lord, but you know, he spoke to God face to face. He parted the Red Sea. So when we say, you know, when we're talking today about your child as a gift. And by the way, that's how we should view them. Psalm 127, children are a gift from the Lord.
Yep.
Happy is a man whose quiver is full of them. So
yes,
even like at times they may not seem like it, like when you're in the middle of a crisis, right?
Oh,
but they're a gift. But
they are.
You know, it's not like, okay, you need to see your kid's going to really be something. I mean, he's going to be a leader of leaders. He's going to be the president of the United States, or you can do it.
Yes.
No, maybe your child is going to be an elementary school teacher. I mean,
that's amazing.
We're talking about, you already referred to it, Brooke, that children are to be molded and unfolded. So yes, we are to train them. And his parents, he saw his parents. He had to have seen them a lot. But they saw this gift that was unfolded. But I did a little study on them. Like, we know almost nothing about his parents.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know
they
much
weren't
about
famous.
Them. Yeah.
The Bible says nothing about them. We get their names, Amram and Jochebed in Exodus 6:20. They were from the tribe of Levi, which means they would have taken care of the tabernacle. But that's all we know about them.
Wow.
So they weren't like, you know, famous people that raised a famous kid. So I just think that's important to remember that we're not talking about, we're really talking about character.
Mm-hmm.
It's his character that shines through as we keep talking about him.
And you know, and his parents' character. Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. So
yeah, that's
Numbers
12:3. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man on the face of the earth.
Yes.
That's amazing. What's that quote that you just... Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay.
What were you saying? Numbers?
Numbers 12:3, I believe. I'm checking.
You check. While you're checking, I'm going to share a quote that you shared from Diane, the one that you shared from from class the other day. Someone in your class said, your gifts may take you where your character cannot keep you.
Yes.
And that's a really interesting thought, which could take us on a whole other podcast, which we won't do today. But your gifts may take you where your character cannot keep you.
And the context of this was a leadership class.
Mm-hmm.
And referring to the many young men and women with incredible gifts who get exalted really quickly, but their own character is their undoing.
As they sabotage
them prematurely. Mm. So character is everything.
Everything. But so to the observation, though, to the moment, because we're going to move on to point two, because we got a couple more to go, or at least the second question. But the observation that not only do our kids need their parents to pray into, speak into them who they see them becoming. You know, that we've said this all the time, your child will become who you tell them you see them becoming.
Yep.
But there's also a responsibility to help mold them. It's not only seeing, but then it's helping set up the right space for them to thrive and for them to actually, which is leading into point number two. But before I get there, Phil, do you want to hit numbers 12 or do you want
to? No, it's not numbers 12. I gave you the wrong address, but I quoted the verse correctly. Now, the man Moses was humble more than any man on the face of the earth. I'll find it.
You find it and quote it later.
You can keep going and I'm going
to
find it.
So the next one, the second thing to ask yourself. So the first, how do you see your child, right? Is it a problem to be fixed? Or do you see them as this delight, this gift God's given you? And then number two, what are you doing to steward the gift of your child?
Yes.
Because really, again, that idea, it's a gift to you. And if Elizabeth were here, I just know her well enough to know that she would share the story of that she had of Duke that was so vivid.
Mm-hmm.
Duke means leader. It's actually my mom's maiden name. And so we included that. We liked the name, but we liked what it meant. It means leader. Yeah, and then leader. Asher is his middle name, which means happy. And so essentially his name is Happy Leader. And she had this visual of him walking in. It was at Solid Rock at the time because that was where we're at. That was that was her visual state at the time. And she sees him walking in this massive foyer area that's filled with like hundreds of people. And for whatever reason, he's about a head taller than everybody, which is actually physically true. He will be taller than me this year. He asked me the other day, he had the audacity to ask me, Dad, are you a small man? And I was like, oh my God. I was like, I'm actually average in every way. I'm medium height, medium in all of my shoe sizes, my shirt sizes, pant size. Like I'm just medium. I'm just not abnormally tall like Pops or JM or whoever. Like you just are used to taller people and you have those genetics. So you'll be bigger than me. And soon you'll be holding me instead of me holding you. And so anyway, but you know, he was a head taller than everybody. And he just had this big group of people following him. And he just had the most giant smile on his face. Yeah. And they were all so joyful to be following him. And that not only plays into his name, Happy Leader, but is this visual that is slowly but surely we see coming true. And it's been so interesting to have that back. And so the stewardship, you know, what are you doing to steward the gift of your child? I think for right now, even when Duke's young, it's more just trying to establish speaking into him who we already see him to be.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of practical things. So Diane, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Bill, I'd love to hear your thoughts. What are some of the things we can do to steward those gifts that we see in our kids? What were some of the things you did with Bex and with Matt and JM and Elizabeth? If you're enjoying this content and you want to go deeper, we have an amazing resource that we want to tell you about. It's the Intentional Film Series, Raising Passionate Jesus Followers. Now, this is an incredible tool for you for spiritual formation in the family. And we created this film series to help parents in their God-given task to raise and disciple their own children. Now, our hope is that we're able to help you and give you some of the tools that I know we so desperately need as we're in the process of raising our kids, and Phil and Diane have actually raised their kids. This is a 9-session film series on the process of what raising a passionate Jesus follower actually looks like. There's some workable solutions in here. There's a bunch of wisdom from the scriptures, and there's a bunch of practical help in your journey as you are raising your children. We cover all sorts of things like parental roles, goals versus values. What is discipline versus punishment? How do I create a heart of obedience in my child where they actually want to obey? What does a heart of self-control look like? Or how do I even help my child in the process of character development? We cover that and so many more things. You can use this film series in a variety of ways. You can use it at your home, preferably with your spouse if that's applicable, with a group of friends or in your community, or even through your local church. All you need to do is head over to our website, intentionalparents.org, click on film series, and then follow the prompts. We have a bunch of other resources there that you can check out, but we do pray that this blesses you in your pursuit of raising passionate Jesus followers.
Well, I think the number one thing is don't raise your kids all the same.
Yes.
So you'll hear it all the time. I don't know what happened. You know, we raised all four of our kids the same, and this guy's, you know, gone off. And that's maybe very problem is that you raise your kids all the same.
Yes.
And I think we have more and more understanding in our culture of the uniqueness of different personalities. But I would say number one, steady your child's bent, his personality, his that's way of good. Moving in the world. And that's don't work good. Against it, work with it.
Yes.
So instead of seeing him as a problem to be fixed, maybe he's very quiet and you think that he needs to be more outgoing, talkative, social. Yes, you're going to teach him how to love his neighbor as himself. Mm-hmm. Basic, good skills of caring about people. That for sure. But you're not necessarily going to make him a more outgoing person because you value an extrovert.
You can make them a night, but I would say though to that, which you guys I thought did a great job, and Elizabeth says this all the time, she's naturally introverted and shy, but you guys were really clear to not dishonor her shyness or introversion, but to also not let that play into what it's bent naturally is, which is rudeness and coldness.
Yes.
And so you guys did a really good job, and she says this all the time to our kids, and also I experienced this, that she, when you meet Elizabeth, you're not thinking, oh my gosh, she's a raging introvert and she's cold and she's rude and she's...
She has good people skills.
Yeah, but John Mark's the same way. You know, people will say the same thing, like, well, he doesn't seem introverted. Well, yeah, because he knows and has learned that being cold and rude is not a helpful way to move through the world. And so I think there is that balance of teaching, but honoring. So anyway,
honoring that they're introverted people, which means that they're going to gather strength and arrestedness by being alone, by being able to process things. And as a parent, seeing a child who's an introvert, you don't want to keep them busy all the time.
Yeah.
Introverts need time to think and be and process, and they need time to just play.
Yes.
So you may have an introverted athlete, but be careful, because if he's always going to practice, always, you know, improving his skill, he's not being true to himself, which is looking inward and being more an introvert. And it goes both ways. But first of all, you study what is your child, you know, what is your child really like?
Yep.
What is their personality? Yep. And they're not like you. And that's important.
Yes.
So you're not trying to make your child into a mini version and maybe a better version of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're allowing them that space. And that's almost impossible to do perfectly.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
But at least we're trying.
I think Oh, by the way, it is Numbers 12:3.
Good job. Yeah. You found it.
But you know, Bible Gateway had Numbers 12:8. It's wrong. It's Numbers 12:3 about Moses being humble. But anyway.
It's true. No, Phil's brain with memory with scripture is better than the internet, just so you know.
No, it's not. I believe it is. They have it right and wrong. But anyway, it's Numbers 12:3. I just think we need to remember, and what we try to do is character.
Yes.
Character wins every time. Mm-hmm. Whether they're introvert or extrovert or a PhD or a plumber, do they love God with all their heart, and do they love people on purpose? So we rewarded character. I mean, I'm thinking of your character chart that you did. Yeah, that wasn't my idea.
Yeah.
That chart you had in the refrigerator with our kids' names and stars and, you know, and then written all over it were faithfulness, kindness, servant heart, joyful, you know, things that God values. So you have to remember, what am I aiming for? Like you said, I am aiming for what the world says is important, or what God says is important.
Yeah.
And then it's training. It's, you know, what did you say, Diane? We raise pigs, but we train children.
Well, she didn't say that.
Yeah.
She heard somebody say
it. Somebody said it, but it's true. You're not just raising your kids. Yes, you're raising them, but train up a child in the way she go. Proverbs 22:6.
Yes.
The one who's old. According to his own bent.
Yeah. It means according to his own bent. Yes. And it has more than a spiritual application, but it does have a spiritual application.
Yeah.
Train up a child. So you're going to train them to love God with all their heart. Like, this is what you were made by God in His image, and you're here to glorify God and to bring His kingdom and to bless people. You know, you have a mission.
Yep.
You know, so you start that really little.
Yep.
And then you figure out, like, you know, like I said, you don't want to try to turn a musician into a middle linebacker because you love football, you know. So it's like, so you study your kids and you unfold this gift,
and you
and
help
it's
them.
And it's not you, it takes a long time.
But
I'm seeing things in Duke that I didn't see before, and you probably saw them before I did because you're a good father. But you know, you suddenly see things about your child as they grow.
But the thing that I think that you also have to remember when you're like the blessed side effect of this is that you help your kids know who God has called them to be, because before they were born, or when they were born, or when they were young, you were helping discover that. You were doing this groundwork, this homework for them, which is like, talk about one of the best gifts you could give them. An inheritance financially is great, but this is an even better one. And the reason I would say that is because how many men I know that are in my stage or age or younger or even older who never had the help to discover what they were good at, who they were by God's design. That's been my story. I had so many different moves and different things that I had to build. I had to build into my adulthood, in my marriage, and even my fatherhood. I had to discover who I actually was and what I was actually even good at. And like, let me tell you, that is a lot easier to do when you're younger and you don't have all of those responsibilities. Yeah. And it's really hard to do, and takes a lot more, I would say, can even affect a lot more, a lot more people when you're having to do that. And so this generation of men that are like, what do I do with my life? I don't even know what I'm supposed to do.
They don't even know what they enjoy doing necessarily.
Exactly.
Too. Those are things that should be learned fairly early in childhood. I love this. I don't love that.
Yeah. I'm even now still discovering. I still have to like ask myself these internal questions. Yeah. Like, do I actually even like the thing that I'm doing or not? And it is interesting and revealing. But one thing you said about character too, just as a point, Phil and Diane, and we say this to our kids all the time, you know, character is everything. And another thing that is everything in my experience anyway is attitude.
Yes.
Attitude is everything. Or, you know, the phrase, as someone said a little while ago, it's a better pithy way of saying it, and I like it, which is your attitude will affect your altitude. And that is so true.
It is so true.
It is so true. Like, you can be an introvert, your kid can be that, but you can instill like, hey, I understand you don't love this, but you need to have a good attitude.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that you don't dishonor yourself or the other people or whatever, but your attitude affects everything. And I try to explain to Duke all the time, like, I've led big teams. I've had people that I've had to hire and fire and all that stuff. And I always let them know, like, the people that would always rise to the surface as problems were people that had good attitudes and bad attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
You always saw the people with good attitudes because they just kept excelling.
Yeah.
But anyone with a bad attitude, you also saw really quickly because you had to deal with it all the time. And you had to either say,
no matter how talented they are. So there's that phrase.
It was usually the more talented, the more attitude.
Talent may not be able to keep them in that position if their character is so weak.
Yes. And I remember the times when I had to let people go because it was like, you're so talented. I wish this would work. But their attitude just couldn't cope.
Exactly.
And so you realize what a gift you're actually instilling in your kids for their future, to realize like you don't have to love everything, but you can do it in a calm, kind way.
So the way to do that is in the day to day, you ask your child who's maybe your 7-year-old son. He's playing Legos. You're kind of aware that he's really in Lego world. So you give him a little bit of a heads up. Hey, in 10 minutes, we're going to have to put the Legos away and set the table for dinner tonight.
Yeah.
And as he does that with a good attitude, the best way to shape attitudes is actually by encouragement.
Yeah.
Because when a person's in a bad place and they're having a bad attitude, correction, rebuking, discipline, consequences are highly ineffective.
Oh, they are.
You know? But if you can catch them doing something right, having a good attitude,
catch them doing something
that's where the discipline, we call it, of a word of encouragement can come in really strong. Mm-hmm. So by saying, okay, you know, Duke did it. So maybe this child, we'll call him Duke, was 7 years old playing Legos. You ask him to set it aside. Mm. He does it with a good attitude.
Yeah.
There's your moment to say, oh my gosh, that was amazing what you did. I understand that you were totally involved in your play and you did what I asked immediately. That's remarkable.
Yeah.
Then dad comes home or his grandma comes in and you call it out in front of him. So he's getting the impression that I know how to just do what I'm asked with a good attitude. That's part of my character, part of who I am.
And sometimes I think it's fair to say that doesn't work on all kids, right?
No.
So like just as a heads up, we have one that doesn't work on at all. So you do have to get creative, but I think the principle applied to each kid's important. We're going to move on to three, but I remember, so the other night we've been on this new ritual where I walk the girls at night because they love nighttime walks. We end up stopping at your house most of the time.
We love it.
You guys are usually, you know, hanging out and they're knocking on the door and they come in and they just hang out for a couple minutes. And the other day, something happened with Sloane where she was just being a punk, like just being rude and mad and just having a bad attitude. She was just being a 4-year-old. And she was, I don't remember what I was doing. I was like picking up something and she just comes over and she just goes, oh, sorry, Dad. I was like, what? Are you apologizing for having a bad attitude without me asking you? She's like, yeah. And I was like, and I just made it a huge deal. Like, oh my goodness, I'm so proud of
Good
you
job.
For apologizing. And then Elizabeth walked in at that same moment. So I pick her up. I was like, Elizabeth, you have to hear this. Do you like, and I'm holding Sloane. She's hearing so she just came over. She was being a punk. She was mad at Birdie about something, but she came over and she apologized. And it was so interesting. You know, we got that from you guys, but that's been such a helpful thing to see your kids just the way her shoulders just went back and, you know, her chest just filled up with your pride, like in the best way. And you just saw like, oh, we're calling something out in her and encouraging this good attitude. And she feels good about it. She feels
she
good
does.
About doing the right thing in
she
that moment.
She basically is feeling good about apologizing when she needed to.
Yeah.
And that's strength of character. That takes
really
a great
cool.
deal of strength. But she's a strong little girl. And you want to channel that strength and being strong about the right things.
Yes.
Not about always having her way.
Yes.
Letting her know she's strong enough to overcome her foul mood.
Yes.
You were wise enough to praise her for that and bring Elizabeth over.
Yeah.
Which reminds me of the thing that we say, your children will become
who you tell them you see them becoming.
So it's said you were humble and you apologized and
yay,
way to go.
Yeah.
I think that's the encouragement at work because everybody responds to encouragement.
Yeah. Right.
And our world has a dearth of encouragement. It's like everybody needs it.
Everybody's living in deficit.
Yes. Everybody's got an encouragement deficit.
So, and even because this is going to be on topic, but number three, the third question to ask yourself. So first, how do you see your child? Second, what are you doing to steward the gift of your child? Number three, are you listening to God about your child?
Yeah.
And we don't need to, you know, that question kind of speaks for itself, but maybe just a couple thoughts really quick around the table on how we can listen to God about our child.
Yeah. So for me, it has become a habit of mine to, you know, ask my favorite question pretty much several mornings a week. It seems that there's something troubling me or I'm feeling big feelings. I don't know what they are. And to come before Jesus and say, what is this about, Lord? I wish I had developed that question when my children were little, because what an amazing prayer for parents to pray. Your child is acting up, getting in trouble at school, and instead of just the obvious, you are actually going to the Lord Jesus with your Bible open on your lap as you're reading, maybe especially reading Proverbs, because it's so much about character and choices. And you're saying, Lord, what is it? What is this about in my child right now? And you might be surprised at what you hear. I have often heard in my own life, fear. At the base of this is fear. And if that's the case, that's going to, at least to some degree, guide how you treat your child. Phil, you were about to say something about that?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, okay.
He's just enthralled with you.
But going to God and asking him, yes, what is this about for your child? Give me insight. You know,
yes, that's good.
In the New Testament, it's called a word of wisdom.
Yeah.
A word of knowledge is more like you're reading a really good book about child development or about character, and you get a word of understanding about something.
Yes.
You know, understand, okay, my child has these. Okay, I'm getting a word of understanding. Also, in Proverbs, wisdom and understanding are almost always linked. So basically, we're coming to God and we're saying, we don't have the wisdom to raise this particular child.
Give us wisdom.
And so would you please just give us wisdom from your word to help guide this one?
Yeah, I mean, I like that you mentioned Proverbs, because to me, that's the go-to book for, I read it every day.
Yeah.
You know, today's the 17th, so I read Proverbs 17, but it's like, it contrasts the wise man and the fool.
Right.
The wise woman and the fool.
Yep.
And it goes back and forth. Of course, we want to raise wise kids. So as your kids grow, you see their besetting sins. You also see their some good character qualities. So you're smiling. You're going to say something.
I'm remembering that. So Phil has been reading through Proverbs every day, over and over and over again. You know, 31 Proverbs for 31 days of the month. Months. Ever since I've met Phil, he's been doing this every day. But I remember, Phil, you got us a book, or I got us, one of us found a book on Proverbs when our kids were little. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it's called. And it was so that you had me at the kitchen table, at the breakfast table, reading through the Proverbs of the day from this book. And there was somebody in the book, they gave characters in the book different names. And one of them was B.A., bad attitude. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yes. And so this version of Proverbs it was geared towards elementary age kids, and it was kind of pointing out what a BA is, what a bad attitude is, throughout the book. Anyway.
Yeah, but we didn't allow that. We dealt with bad attitude.
We were very strict about
attitudes. I think it's really important. Proverbs 10, I'm just looking at 10:1 here. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother.
That's so true.
But, you know, the word of God, we're not talking about that today, but I just, you know, you want your kids to succeed in life. And, you know, Brooke, we just read this when we were praying over you the other day, coming on full time as an intentional pastor with Intentional.
Yeah.
We read a charge over you, and Joshua 1 came up.
Yep.
Remember, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all according to what is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success.
Yeah. Yes.
So we want our kids to be prosperous and have success, and it's connected to God's word and God's way.
And listening. Yeah. And listening to
and
God.
And listening to God. And so I guess my answer, I always go back to the Bible, like, what was your question? What's the question?
The question is, are you listening to God about your child?
Yeah. So I'm going to listen to God about my child in the Bible.
Yeah.
And I'm going to read scripture over him.
Absolutely.
And you're reading Proverbs over him. Absolutely. And I just think that God will shape him with his word.
Yeah.
And then if they see that you delight in it, and it's not this chore that you have to read the Bible this morning, but they actually see you basking in the scriptures. Like, I watch my wife every morning for 2 hours plus. She's just like scribbling and delighting in the scriptures. And our kids would get up in the morning and bring their teddy bear and Mikey down and lay on her her shoulder while she's doing this. And now they get up and do it.
And I think it's and that's the way that I think it's important just to even highlight for whoever's listening, because there's so many different types of people. You know, that's the way that you connect with God in the best way. That's right. So in line with your personality, enjoy.
With my love of reading and love of writing.
Yeah. And there's some people that just wake up and go, I need to go on a walk with God, or I need to. And I think the most important thing, that's our example. And I'm saying that just to say, use that if it works, but also don't let that be the reason it doesn't work. Right. Like, figure out your own way.
And your rhythm. Yeah. And you know, stage of life has an effect on that too. For me, I was a stay-at-home mom all the years I was raising my children. So I had the luxury of deciding to get up earlier in the morning and spending time with the Lord, because I could take a rest in the afternoon if I needed to. So I had so much control over my schedule. Not everybody has that. But I think Phil's point is God speaks primarily and loudest through the Word, through the Word of God. Mm-hmm. I also think he speaks prophetically through your pastor. If you're committed to the community of your church on Sunday morning or whenever, God wants to speak to you prophetically through your particular shepherd. He speaks in creation. There's so much that we can see and learn about him in creation. But number one, he speaks through his word.
Yeah.
He is the word.
Yeah. And you need to be in it. So let me, these last two questions pretty briefly, but we're going to go through them. The other day I was doing I was writing some stuff and this phrase came to mind, and it was, ask the Father to explain us to us. And so that's the fourth question. Ask the Father to explain yourself to yourself. Yeah. And the reason I start with that is because I think just the same with our kids, so much of our own self is unknown.
Yeah.
You know, we know ourselves, and self-awareness is one thing, but there's also a lot of things. And, you know, Diane, one of your favorite questions, God, what is this about? Mm-hmm. Tell me more about this, God. You know, there in that question is this, God, help me understand what's even going on in me. Explain me to me. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of stuff that we even don't understand about ourselves. But when we start to ask God, okay, explain me to me, it also leads us to that with our kids. Explain my children to me. Help me understand them. Explain them to us. You know?
Exactly.
What were you going to say?
Well, I'm just going to, Phil read Psalm 139 about we're formed in our mother's womb. And at the very end, David, who wrote this psalm, kind of breaks out into prayer. And he says, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me. And know my thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. It also can be translated, point out anything in me, any way of pain in me. And, you know, so much talk about woundedness now. This is what David is praying for. Would you please point out my own woundedness and lead me along the path of everlasting life? Mm-hmm. Everlasting life is not just infinity life. It is that wholeness of life, that telos of life that is, Jesus says that he came to give us the life that is truly life. Fullness of life. So flourishing, basically. Search me, O God, because I actually need you to lead me along the path of flourishing. And part of that is knowing the way of pain in me. That's really what you're talking about. And you're doing the work right now. You know, for some people, that means going to counseling. For others, it means talking to a good friend about you're noticing, because the Holy Spirit is convicting you of your overreaction to this particular child. And getting to the root of it and living like beneath the surface of your life. You know, John Mark calls it, and many of the writers in that he studies, the inward journey.
Yeah,
and this is going on the David's on the inward journey, but he's going there with God. He's not just going to a psychologist. He's going there with God. I think counselors are fabulous if they know Jesus and they know his word and are pointing you constantly to him. And that was David. He was asking God to be his wise counselor and to show him the ways of pain in him.
Yes.
Yeah, I would just add, what's the way you said it? You know, explain me to me or whatever.
Yeah, ask the Father to explain.
God knows me better than I know myself. Yes. And you just quoted the end of Psalm 139, where David prays, "Search me, O God." But the first verse, he says, "Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up." I've learned, and I think the longer we live and walk with the Lord, the more we know that we don't even understand ourselves, but He does. So instead of trying to chart out your own life, you say, "Lord, you know, lead me, search me, guide me." He knows how, because He knows us better than we know ourselves. He also knows how to lead us in paths of righteousness. Yeah. So we want to teach our kids. Just say to your kids, "God knows you better than you know yourself. And He loves you more than you can even fully understand. So just learn to spend time with Him, and He'll help you understand
and listen
how He wants to bless you and lead you and guide you." And I think that that's something we teach them.
And that leads us to the last question, which all of this will fall under this. But the last question to ask yourself, is your faith worthy of following? Is your faith worthy of following?
Yeah.
Because that's really a lot of what you're saying. You know, like, is this actually... like Moses. Moses was a great example. He mimicked and followed his parents, it seems like, even in the story you shared at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And that's a great reflection question. Mm-hmm. Phil, I'm going to quote you to you. You said, "We teach what we know, but we reproduce who we are." That's a great way to say it. We teach what we know. We'll teach our kids what we know, but we reproduce who we are. And it's who you are that matters. Yeah. It's who you are when nobody's around. It's integrity. It's how you spend money. It's how you speak to your kids and act when no one's there. That is the stuff that makes you worthy of following.
Yeah, what
you do when you're mad with anger. Listen to the last episode on anger.
Your kids can tell just by observing you what's important to you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you and I both read, I think today, that little article about China. Like China.
Oh, yeah.
Their population went down last year. It's diminishing, which doesn't, what's the big deal? Well, it's a big deal because as the population ages and people aren't having enough children, the culture eventually dies out, right?
Yeah.
So, but quickly. But the reason is, you know, for all those years, they had a one child policy, which means there was all kinds of abortions going on, which is tragic and horrific. But then when they saw that their population was going down, so now you can have two kids. In 2021, they said, now you can have three kids, but people aren't doing it because a middle class has risen in China, and the couples don't want to have more than one child because they want the good life.
Yep.
So those kids are going to grow up saying, "My mom and dad, they value education, money, and you know,
nice
that's what's
house.
Important."
Yep.
And then they're not even going to have more kids, which is really, really sad. Well, so
it's so interesting because they don't even have enough young kids to take care of all those who are aging into retirement.
It's going to be a massive
problem. So you realize this is a massive problem. It's a massive problem.
They've already projected it out, you know, at what point it would be a total disaster. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is there's a value there that God would say is not a good value. And what Moses saw back, you know, we started with Hebrews 11, and I don't know if we even made this clear. Verse 23, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. The next verse, by faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Yeah. So in here is that his parents had a faith that was worth modeling. He picked it up. He could have been stinking rich and have anything he wanted. He's like in Pharaoh's palace. He's like a prince, right? And he says, nope, I'm going to choose. It's actually the reproach of Christ, greater riches. And he was looking to the reward. So he was looking to what an unseen, he couldn't see. He was living his life by faith. The whole thing in this chapter is by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And so I think that's what we're talking about here.
Well, and you mentioned
God values faith.
He values faith. And
without faith, it's impossible to please him. It says in Hebrews 11.
It's the first
verse. But he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So basically, are you, you know, as a dad, am I diligently seeking the Lord, and do my kids see that in me? Oh, that's how you're supposed to live life, you know, and I'm not going to do it perfectly. Yeah. I didn't do it perfectly.
Yeah.
No parent does. But overall, is the trajectory of your life worthy of modeling?
Yeah.
you know, because your kids will copy you.
And to, and to tease, you know, you shared verse 25, which will tease us out, and we'll talk more about this in a, at another time, but it says that he chose to instead suffer mistreatment with the people of God. There's this idea, a really helpful one called optimal deprivation, and the idea that having everything that you think that you want all the time is absolutely not great for you.
Exactly.
It's not, when you think that you're giving your kids everything, you're actually, in fact, not. You're giving them, you're actually, in one sense, ruining their life. And it's so interesting. You know, there's all these studies about the highest users of cocaine, actually, ironically, that are in their teens are kids of affluent parents.
Wow.
And it's bizarre to think, like, you know, well, not only financially can they afford it, but it's just so interesting when you start reading all this, like, there's a certain level of optimal deprivation we need. Having everything is not everything. And so I love that even example with Moses. Like, there was a certain level where he denied a certain amount of, whether that be success or comforts or opportunities, so that he could be closer with his people and closer with God in many ways. So these are the questions today. Five questions. How do you see your child? What are you doing to steward the gift of your child? Number three, what are you listening to, or are you listening, excuse me, to God about your child? Remember to ask the Father to explain us to us, or explain your kids to you. And fifthly, is your faith worthy of following? So as we go today, ask yourself those questions and process this. Ask, who has God given you? And we pray that you'd be blessed on your journey. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, here's a few ways that you can partner with us in this ministry. First is to give. Intentional Parents is a nonprofit, and we rely on the generous giving of our partners. So please head over to our website, intentionalparents.org/give, if you would like to become one of our partners through giving. Second is to share it. If this has at all been helpful to you, we encourage you to share it with your friends, your family, and those that you know would be blessed by it. Third is to follow us on social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find us on Instagram at intentional_parents. And lastly, if you would head over to iTunes, if you enjoyed today's episode, and leave a review on iTunes, this helps us bring more hope, help, and healing for families.